All right, we're continuing with Tehillim 115, and we're in Pasuk Yud Gimel. So it's on this page, guys, for those of you who are looking in and not necessarily in the cyberverse, who may not have exactly the same pagination that we have. So this is where we left off last week. Yivarech Yirei Hashem HaKetanim Im HaGedolim. Okay, so I was thinking that HaKetanim VaHaGedolim could be referring to what we would call Gil, ages. So it could be young people and older people. That's one possibility.
Well, did you think that it meant small? And
well, I don't.
I never thought of it.
No, it doesn't mean in terms of height, but perhaps in terms of Gil, in terms of age. So the young people, the older people, everybody who's in this category of Yirei Hashem. Because you could be relatively young and be in that category relatively easily. That was one idea I had. Another idea that I had was, it's not talking about age at all.
How much
but it's talking really in terms of, in a sense, the quality that the individual has pursued. In other words, you have some people that are called by the Gemara Mikatne Emuna, those people who have relatively small amounts of Emuna, right? And if you have Mikatne Emuna, on the other hand, you have Migdole, right? Migdole Emuna. So it really depends how you'd like to analyze it. One of the things that's near and dear to me as someone who's in education for as long as I was, is that I kind of like the Ketanim idea referring to age. And let me share with you something that I recently saw that really took my breath away, because it's been a very long time since I've seen such a thing. It was about 30, maybe 40 Beis Yaakov girls. And it's about, at this time, it's about, well, I guess, 9:30 in the morning, and they're at summer camp. They happen to daven outside in summer camp, just as I'm walking in to give a class in technology. And there they were, these 30 or 40, sweet as could be, as innocent as could be, unbelievably, to me, mystic, little girls davening aloud. And at that point in time, I was absolutely convinced that I understood what Chazal said when they said that the filot of young children is always listened to. Right? And many of them were very powerful, and there they were, not necessarily shouting, but they were, whatever they said, they, you know, and whatever glimmer of understanding they had, it was done with such heart. So perhaps, you know, Yivarech Yirei Hashem HaKetanim HaGedolim. Certainly they're starting on the right foot. Okay.
What about those who fear him a little bit and fear him a lot?
Good. Meaning what?
Because it says, you know, it says, who fear the Lord, the small, those who fear him just a little bit, and those who fear him.
Yeah, well, that was one of the ideas that I was saying, is that it could be the in a sense, the qualitative. And not a description of age, but a description of where a person might find himself or herself on the spectrum. Okay? I mean, there are people that are way, way above and beyond, you know, the Mekubalim and the people who understand, really understand Zohar and so forth, and at a very high level, okay, in terms of their attachment to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that could be the Gedolim. And then you could have the people that perhaps aren't into mysticism and so on and so forth. Okay, and then you keep going down and down and down. But
or,
yeah, go ahead.
It could also be that you fear the big things that Hashem could do to you or the little things that he could do to you.
All right, except Ketanim and Gedolim aren't referring to Ma'asim, but referring to people. That's for sure, no matter how we want to parse it. But okay, look how creative you guys are. Very impressive.
We do talk about the Gedolim of a generation.
Yes,
I don't
we
know
do.
If opposite that is Ketanim of a generation.
Well, if you've got Gedolim, you've got Ketanim. Otherwise, you know, the old adage, if everybody is Gedolim, there are no Ketanim, and, right? And so on and so forth. But again, look how creative you guys are being. It's very good. It's very encouraging to me. I'm very happy. All right, next pasuk. Yosef Hashem Aleichem. Okay? Now, Hashem should increase upon them. Okay? Aleichem, upon them, v'al b'neichem, and on your children. Okay, guys, what's missing? What is what we say? What's bolet lion? It's sticking out. What's missing?
Elokim.
Hmm?
Elokim.
Perhaps.
What is he adding?
Exactly. We don't know. We don't know what the subject is.
Blessings.
How do you know that?
Because the pasuk before is blessings,
and the one after,
and the one after.
Ah, very good. Exactly. So Hashem, we're asking Hashem to increase brachot aleichem upon you, and as every mother, even more powerfully than perhaps a father, feels, yes, and upon the children, because the children are the future of the world. Okay? So good and excellent. You, and not only that, what did you have in the prior two psukim? Hashem Zacharana Yivarech. Yivarech et Beit Yisrael. Yivarech et Beit Aaron. Now, Yivarech Yirei Hashem. And Yosef Hashem Aleichem. Well, it's almost like David HaMelech is saying, get with the program, guys. It's got to be brachot. And not only that, as one of you just pointed out in the very next pasuk, Baruchim Atem LaHashem. So what does Baruchim mean? It means you're in a state of being blessed. So whether you are Beit Yisrael, whether you are Beit Aharon, whether you are part of Yirei Hashem, wherever you fall out within these three groups, Baruchim Atem LaHashem, you are blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Osei Shemayim V'aretz. Now when we say Osei Shemayim V'aretz, what aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are we referring to? Referring to him as what? Right. Borei HaOlam. Bereshit Bara, right? Elokim, Eirat Shemayim V'eirat Haaretz. Borei HaOlam. That's what's being referenced. He's the Osei Shemayim V'aretz. Okay? What's interesting here, in contrast to so much of what we've learned, we're bringing out this ultimate universal. What's more universal than Borei HaOlam, right? We're bringing out this ultimate universal specifically for Klal Yisrael, which leads to one of the major themes that is recounted over and over again in rabbinic literature, that Bishvil Yisrael, Nivra HaOlam. You've heard it before, okay? And what does that basically mean? It's not a statement of arrogance or anything of the kind, but rather, so Rashi really says this in the very first Rashi in Chumash, okay? So, B'Reishit, for the first, says Rashi. This is Lashon Rashi. B'Reishit, for the first, right? Bara Elokim et Hashemayim v'Aretz. So, because of what would take place on Yom HaShishi. So, what's Yom HaShishi? The sixth of Sivan, the Torah. Again, another Rashi based on Medrash. So, the world was created so there could be a Yisrael. Notice how careful I'm being with the language. Okay, it wasn't a done deal that we would be Yisrael. After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not playing a game when he went from this group of people to another group of people. Everyone turned him down, except us. Okay? So that there should be a Yisrael in the world, which is, by the way, it's very disquieting. to think that way, isn't it? It's not the way we normally think, that we were not, in quotation marks, destined to be the Jewish people. But we became the Jewish people. Okay? How do we become the Jewish people? From Avraham onward. Right? That's how we became Klal Yisrael. So, at any rate, here we are with the Borei HaOlam, in a sense, being discussed by David HaMelech with the sense that we are uniquely blessed. Really? Oseh Shamayim V'aretz. Because if you go back and back and back and back, ultimately, since we chose to be Klal Yisrael, so to speak, by getting the Torah, that is why the Torah was given and the world was created. Okay, next. A very, very, very famous pasuk. Okay, especially in the Gemara. There's a famous Gemara in Ketzad Mevarchim, which is the sixth parak of Masechet Brachot. Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem V'aretz Natan Levnei Adam. What's going on? What's going on? So Chazal tell us that really everything is LaHashem. How do you know everything's LaHashem? LaHashem HaAretz U'Meloah. Right? So basically what's going on? So Chazal tell us that before we make a bracha, we have absolutely no permission whatsoever to eat any kind of food or drink any kind of drink at all. Because it's still in the category of what? Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem. Hashem HaAretz U'Meloah. When we make a bracha, then V'Haaretz Natan L'Bnei Adam. Then it becomes ours. So what then, really, to use Brisker terminology, that would fit well with much of what I heard from Rabbi Amori, Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzad Lebracha. What then is a bracha, a birkat nanin? It's a matir, right? It's a matir. What's matir mean? To make it mutar. So in other words, literally, within the whole Hashkafah of Judaism, food is proscribed to us until we make a bracha. We have to take it from, almost if you will, if it's Hashem's, it's hektish, isn't it? It's hektish. It's mukdash l'Hashem. We have no right to it. But that bracha that we say, hopefully with kavanah, which means not only, it means two things. One is that I have to be aware that I'm saying a bracha, and that I must say a bracha. But two is the intentionality of the cognitive gesture, meaning that I know what I'm saying and what it means. With those two aspects, then I have that ability to be matir, that which belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and make it allowable to me. Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem V'aretz Natan Levnei Adam. Okay. It doesn't hurt at all that I learned Ketzad, you know, Mevarchim, and I thought a little bit about it along the way, but that's where that's from. Okay, next. So, really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to praise Him. He wants us to praise Him. Now, this is one of the great mysteries. As the Rav would describe it, Soloveitchik would describe it as a mysterium tremendum. It's a great mystery. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which He is infinite, why does He need the praises of Bnei Yisrael?
People need praises to help their ego.
Right.
He doesn't have a problem with his ego.
Right.
For us.
Right.
Because like when we praise, we recognize His goodness, which makes us better.
I hear that. But what do we say about the Imaot?
Hashem enjoys their tefillah.
So he enjoys ours.
Correct. So now we have the same problem again. why were the, now, as I had this conversation with Arlene, it's very nice that Hashem, you know, wants the tefillah of the Imaot, but think about the Imaot along the way. They weren't exactly happy being barren, right? Akarot, okay? But at any rate, be that as it may, whether it's Chana, who is the Eim HaTefillah, which we learned going back 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, I guess by now, or whether it's Sarif Garacha Valeya, all of whom had problems at different times conceiving, right?
Leah.
Leah
had problems conceiving?
Yeah. Leah stopped by giving birth. And she saw that she had stopped giving birth. Oh yeah, but she was upset about it.
More because each was a twin.
Right? She was upset about that. So, she, at that point, did whatever she could to, in what's the most genteel way of saying this? To have heartfelt discussions with Yaakov Avinu so that she can continue to hopefully go forth and continue to be the aim. Right, that's exactly it. So for her, she felt that she, right, was no longer giving birth, and she was very depressed by that. Okay, so in all of them, they all davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaveh. So this just brings the question back to where we started. What's going on? And how do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to praise Him? Says David HaMelech, Lo HaMeitim Yahalalu Ka. The dead will not ever praise Hashem. So therefore, as much as we want to live, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live too.
Well, when they go to Olam Haba and, you know, learn and do things over there.
Yeah, but you see, there's a big difference.
But we don't know.
There's a big difference. Let's say that we go there and all day long we daven. Well, let's say we do that, right? The women are saying Tehillim, and they're attending some Shirim, and so forth, and the men are learning Yom V'Loila. Okay? Is the schar that the men and the women in Shemayim receiving as great as the schar that you and I are receiving right now? Anyone want to go for that one?
No.
No. No, it is not. I mean, no, you don't want to go for it? Or no, the schar is not as great?
No.
Both. Okay, you ready? No is a great answer because, like, as I would say, like any other... Know what? Okay, but here,
no
the answer. Exactly. So down here, we have to make the choice. Okay? And when it comes to rationalizations, every human being is a genius. So there's 2.5 million reasons why you could have decided not to be here tonight. Okay? Or not to dedicate yourself to learning Torah. Because, after all, you have so many different things. So, those of you who are bubbies, grandmothers, whatever you call, omas, whatever you call yourself, okay, or saftas, right? So with all of your grandkids, with all of your children, right, tell me you couldn't be busy 24/7 and do nothing but that. And if you're a mommy... Okay, you know, just the worrying alone takes up so much time. Correct? Okay, it's never ending. But yet, what do? And then, of course, there's the shopping, and there's the cooking, and there's the baking, and there's watching over your spouse, and so on and so forth. Exactly. So, but instead of...
For a selfish reason.
Okay, I get it. But... listen, if you're coming to my shir, I have no doubt that you would never be drawn to reality TV. That I know. But whatever else you might be interested in, okay? Whatever else you might be interested in, maybe you would have said to yourself, no. But no, you're here. So the idea is, in Shemayim, you can only, as Hindi said, you have no Yitzhahara whatsoever. You can only do good. If you made it through... Or actually, to use one of the themes, one of the metaphors we have on both Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, if you made it behind the curtain, Okay? So you're already, you know, labeled as an, you know, as a permanent good guy or good lady. That's it. So you have no Yetzirah. So your reward for doing all the good that you do in Shemayim doesn't account to what happens here. Like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, right? 1 hour of Torah mitzvot in this world is worth all of the world to come. Because here you make your choice. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, David HaMelech, Lo HaMeitim Yahaluka. Listen, you know, they can't praise you. Not the way we can praise you. V'lo kol your day, Duma, and not those who have gone down to the grave. Because once a person, okay, has passed and gone to the other world, into the kever, right, then whatever they are has ceased to be.
And then what's the difference between the first and the second? You mean that you're dead?
Right. What's the difference? So I would suggest this, is that unfortunately in history there are people who have been metim but have not gone down to the kever. Unfortunately. Unfortunately. As Ashkenazim, we certainly know.
Was this written way before?
Oh, yeah. It? Oh, yeah. But remember, even in the time of David HaMelech, that was the case. Not everyone.
What do you mean? Like you're saying that
Metim is one category, and people who got buried were most Metim, but not all Metim. Right? How do you know? Because we talk extensively about a Met mitzvah. Okay? Whose responsibility is it to bury that Met mitzvah? And even today in New York, there's a burial society for people where nobody. Free burial society. Nobody was able to, unfortunately, have someone look after them. Okay?
Rabbi?
Yes?
Isn't it so that a person, a nifter, I mean, somebody who's in the cave already, obviously, they could be like a shaliach for us to Hashem?
We definitely have that idea. A melech yashar.
We're not praising.
We definitely have that. Okay? And there are just endless numbers of stories of people who have dreams and visions of precisely that. Okay, I believe it, that it's real. I don't look at it as just an active imagination going to sleep and then imagining. I believe with all my heart that we do receive information, okay, from other than this world. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that.
Those who are going towards the light, and then
no,
they come. It's not their time yet.
Near death experience.
Right. I mean, we first of all near death experiences are absolutely cross cultural and cross religion. You know, the near death experience is nearly the same over and over and over and over again. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. Okay, race, creed, color is immaterial. Okay. But I'm not. I'm saying even more than that. For example, Yaffa Eliach wrote an amazing book about the Shoah, and it's called Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust. But it wasn't. Usually, when we say the word tales, what do we think of the word tales? It's a story. Okay, you know, it's sort of like Little Red Riding Hood or something. Okay, that's not what she meant when she said Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust. What she meant was that this incorporated in her mind people coming to people in dreams, warning them, and so forth. So she talks many, many times. I haven't read the book for a long while, but many, many, many times she talks about someone's grandmother, someone's grandfather, in the midst of the Shoah, okay, telling them clear, unmistakably, you must leave now and go north, or you must leave, you know, whatever it might
don't
be.
Don't get on that, you know.
Right? And truck. And when everybody else is going toward what we now call the Umschlagplatz, right? The place of meeting, because that's where the Germans said, okay, go toward it, but go to this farmer's house or something like that. Over and over and over and over again. And many of those people did manage to survive. Okay, so I believe this is true. I believe it's true. Let's go weiter. V'anachnu nevarech ka. Who are we? We're the ones that are alive. That's in contrast to lo hameti mi'ahalu ka. But v'anachnu nevarech ka. We're mevarech Hashem. And again, does Hashem need our bracha? No. Does Hashem want our bracha?
Yes.
That's very important. Okay? I always think of the famous Michelangelo, you know, Adam and God imagery. Mm-hmm. Always. Because I believe it. Okay? Rav Soloveitchik himself said, he emphasizes many, many, many times, that Hashem is poteach yad b'teshuvah. So even if you only have a hir hur tshuva, the thought of doing tshuva, okay, Ploni ben Ploni, I don't want to look at anybody. Ploni ben Ploni is a no good nick, okay? But he thinks, maybe, I'll even make it a guy, so none of you included. And he thinks, maybe I'll do teshuva. Even that alone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help. Okay? If you just even go to the door and you open it a tiny crack, right? Like if you remember what your kids used to do and your grandkids still do, right? If you have them. Okay? Are you awake? Okay? If you open up a tiny crack, Hashem will open it up entire. That's a very important idea. So, and we're going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu mi'ata v'ad olam. Hallelujah. All right. Any questions on what we did so far tonight?
Yes, unrelated though. So with Hallel, like a lot of times you sing it.
Yes.
A lot of times you end up repeating words. Are you allowed to repeat words?
No.
Then why do they make the songs so that you repeat them?
I don't know.
Cantorial.
Well, there are verses that you.
There's so many. Like I'm looking in here, and like I'm, you know, like singing it in my head as you're going
right.
along, and I'm like,
no.
Should I repeat it? Should I
you,
not?
You. The short answer to your question is that you are not supposed to repeat words in a pasuk. You can repeat a pasuk.
Yeah, as long as it's designated to be one that you repeat.
Right. If you start from the first word to the last word, you can repeat that all day long if you like, because you're saying a pasuk. But are you supposed to stop in the middle of a pasuk and start repeating? The short answer, halacha l'maaseh, is no. By the way, I'm not being machria, I'm not paskening. This is what's called a halacha psuka. This is something every, you know, kuli amo lo pligi, this is the straight halacha. Okay?
But I don't get why they make this song.
I don't know either. And that's why you'll hear some of us, when everyone else is repeating, we'll sit there and go, ah. Okay? Because you're not supposed to repeat. Okay? And you'll see it all the time.
It's like all the time.
It happens a lot. It's an invention of
you've been invention.
In a large extent, and it's an invention of some chazanim at certain times. But the likelihood is it never started in shul per se. They're probably having, you know, chazanist concerts, and people liked the tune. So then they just started repeating it in shul. And, you know, that's all I'm going to say. All right.
Wait, I have a question.
Go ahead.
It does have something to do with this.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what happened to my proviso. Go ahead, or my caveat. Yes.
If in Yud Zion that sentence was taken out, would we have thought otherwise that we would think that the Yud does praise Hashem?
No.
So why was it put in?
For contrast.
Or maybe to tell us that we should take this opportunity.
That's good too. In other words, v'anachnu v'reka me'ata v'ad olam, well, we don't live forever.
Like people in Shemayim can, people who are nifter.
Right, but we can. It's contrast. Okay, but that's a good question. That's a very good question too. All right, next. Tehillim 116, Kuf Tet Zion. Okay? Now, once again, Aleph through Yud Bet, we do not say, right? Okay? We don't say on Rosh Chodesh, okay? And this is one of those things that's left out. It's called Bedilug, right? I may have my actual number wrong on that, but anyway, only part of this is said. Okay, I think it's Aleph through Yud Bet is the part that we say, only on Rosh Chodesh. Okay? And that brings us to the second part, which is Kosh Yeshuot Asah, and that for sure we begin to say all the time. Okay, whether it's Rosh Chodesh, it's not Rosh Chodesh. But the first part we only say when we're Gomrim et HaHalel. I'd have to actually have a sitter.
We do all the time.
Yeah. Ma'ashir, we do all the time. I just get a sitter.
So through Yud Aleph.
I want to, in case I have to
revamp.
Well, yeah, but a sitter is right here. Could have used a smartphone, I suppose. But then I have to have you guys wait for me to find it. All right. Here we go. It goes from Ahavti to Kol Adam Kozev. Okay? Aleph Yud Aleph. Okay? And then from Yud Bet on, that we would say all the time. Okay?
But if it's the same Tehillim.
Same thing?
Why would you do some and not others?
Well, we did the same thing before. In Kuf Ted Vav, in 115.
Right?
Yeah. We split that too. Right? So now the question, of course, is, well, why do we split it? The way we split it, I don't have an answer for that. I don't know. I just know that whether it's the one before or it's this, okay, we only say the whole Tehillim when we're Gomrim, when we're doing complete, and we only, you know, but otherwise if it's Rosh Chodesh, we only do part. Or the last, Chol HaMoed Pesach, all the way through Shvi'i and Shmini. Okay? So again, the Kuf Ted Vav and Kuf Ted Zayin, 115, 116, are similar in kind that way. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Ahavti, my entire life, I thought it meant what?
Love.
I have loved. I was wrong. Totally wrong. Rashi says, Ahavti comes from Ta'avti, which means wished. So instead of ahavti, which means I have loved, it means I have always wished. Ki yishma Hashem et koli. I've always wished that Hashem would listen to my voice.
So why is it spelled the same way?
I don't know. I'm not enough of a Baal Dikduk to answer that question correctly. I just really don't know. Okay?
If you say it, I have love. I have love that Hashem would hear my voice.
I would love.
Right.
But I would love.
Or I would love, okay? But then what do you do with Ki Yishma?
That
Hashem will listen, right, to my voice. So I never thought of how awkward that really was. I never thought of it. But the truth is, fascinatingly, is that Ahavti really could be I've always desired. I've always wanted. Okay? Now, if you were Rabbeinu Shemshon Raphael Hirsch, I'm positive he would show you how the two actually dovetail. Okay? And he probably is correct, but it's above my pay grade. So I'm just going to go with what Rashi says. That really what Ahavti is Ta'avti, that I've always wished. And wish, I think, has in the sense of it also hope. I've always wished, I always hope. Ki yishma Hashem akoli, that Hashem would listen to my voice. Now, what do we say in the Shemoneh Esrei that's similar in kind? In the Shemoneh Esrei. What did you say? Bidiyuk nachon. Shema koleinu. So, Ki Yishma Hashem et Koli is the singular form of Shema Koleinu Hashem Elokeinu. Okay? Now, Tachanunai. Now, Tachanunai means my supplication. So, I don't know if you've
like
ever... Tachanun. Like Tachanun. Right. Have you? How many women typically don't daven tachanun? May women daven? Sure. Is it a nice idea? Great. Do most women? No. Women usually are not nohagot to say tachanun. But tachanun is supplication. Supplication is a really fancy schmancy word. What does it really mean? I always look at it this way. Those of you who have been at a minyan where you've seen people, men, daven tachanun. Okay, so first of all, it's not at a bris. There's no tachanun at a bris. Okay, so if you've been in shul on a weekday, like for example, when your son or your grandson was putting on tefillin the first time. Okay, so you've been in a mincha minyan. Okay, and it's a regular everyday weekday. So what do you see men do? See them put their head on their head. What are they doing? So I like to think of it using the everyday phrase of we're really throwing ourselves symbolically at Hashem's mercy. We're really, it's very, first of all, I can speak as a guy very clearly on this. It's very important to constantly remember who is, in quotation marks, the boss. And if you make a physical gesture of putting yourself down, which of course is symbolically v'anachnu korim, right? Like we do in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So if you do that, it's a very powerful reminder of where we stand and where Hashem always is.
And where we hope to be at the Bismi Vosh.
Exactly. Exactly. I've never read it, but I would imagine in the Ezrat Nashim, in the Beit HaMikdash, because it says V'kol Ha'am, right? I'm sure the women did too. And remember, the women were up above, and it was really closed off, so there's no sniut issues or any of that kind of stuff. So yeah, everybody. So that's what I think of tachanun, right? And basically, what's the introduction to tachanun? Right, the part certainly we say it in Mincha. We say V'yomar Hashem, like V'yomar David El Gad, Tsar Li Ma'od. I'm miserable. So no matter how great things are going in a person's life, there's at the very least there's always little things that are bothering you. Okay, the older we get, such difficult things as bending down to pick up a pot from the bottom shelf. Okay, that usually comes out with a crex. Okay? So, is it terrible? No. Do you wish it was... Do you hope? Do you pray that it'll be the worst thing that ever happens to you? Avadai, 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 avadai. Okay? So, there's always something. So, that's why it says, Bayomai David al God, Sarli ma'od. This is David HaMelech. Right? With all of his power, all of his glory, Sarli ma'od. I'm miserable. So, and again, there's a whole polar idea of what does sar mean. One person's sar could be another person's hana, another person's pleasure. But that's what tachanun is for, is to for us to throw ourselves, so to speak, at the mercy of the divine court. Okay, now, ki hita ozno li, okay, that... I'm joyous that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, has bent his ear, right, to me. He's listened to me. Uviyamai ekra. And I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always going to listen. Okay? Okay? But the key is this, and we said this a long time ago, and I have to always repeat this idea. When we daven, and we daven, let's say, for a refuah shlema for someone, and lo aleinu, should never happen, they don't have what we deem to be the refuah shlema. They don't have it. Does that mean that Hashem did not hear our prayers? No. It means that Hashem gave us an answer that was not the answer we were hoping for, but He definitely heard our prayers. As difficult as that is, and as angry Anger is okay, guys, if it's appropriate.
Right? So how do you tell a young child that their anger, to overcome their anger in the exact situation that you just mentioned?
Right. It's very hard. It's very hard because a child, as the experts in trauma will tell you, doesn't have a lot of distance, doesn't have life experience to know how to, in a sense, take the trauma that he or she has suffered and, in quotation marks, deal with it.
Correct. So,
they can't.
There's some adults who can't deal with some things.
Say again?
There's some adults who can't deal with things.
Right. Some things are just so terrible that you can't. 100%. But an adult at least has what you might call a longitudinal perspective. They can look back and they can see this personal event that's taken place in their life in the context of a wider patish of events similar in kind, and know that other people who have gotten through it, they're going to be able to get through it too.
Are there books?
Child has no ability to do that. Yes.
Are there books that you can recommend?
Not myself, but there are people in the field that I know you can be put in contact with for those kinds of questions. It's beyond my expertise, but it's a very good question. Okay. So, Kia, again, the idea is that I'm going to call out. I know that Hashem is listening, even if I'm not going to necessarily get the answer that I'd hope for. Okay? Now, afafuni, okay, chevle mavet, okay, that I've been surrounded by bands of death. So what is that? I mean, we're certainly getting into the dark and the dire, and the dark territory. Yeah, David had a really miserable life. It's, you know how they say it's good to be the king? It's not good to be chased by the king. Okay? And it's not good to have your son rebel against you. Okay? Big time. Okay? But I believe this part here, Afafuni Chevle Mavet, that I've been surrounded by bands of death, I believe this is talking about when he was being chased by Shaul. So, Rashi explains, and these are Rashi's words, Chavurot Oyevim, okay, Hamevakshim Hamitenu, that this refers to bands of enemies that desire to kill us. Okay? Now, we've all, you know, too much of Ashkenazi history has been wrapped up in this theme, okay? So we unfortunately can relate to it all too well, okay? U'mitza'arei sha'ol mitza'uni, okay? And literally, mitza'arei sha'ol mitza'uni means the gvule sha'ol, the boundaries of the netherworld have begun to enclose me. Okay, this is not your, you know, the kind of thing you want to wake up in the morning saying necessarily.
This is why this part's not sung.
Okay? This is, right? This is why we sing so much of Hallel and through this part. So, Tsara, misery, okay, by the way, what was the name that a woman gave to her husband's second wife when polygamy was allowed? She was called Tsara.
Misery?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Well, the mother-in-law is something else. Can you? But I can't understand. I'm not going there. I'm not saying anything. Believe me, I know I'm in deep trouble.
Wait till your mother.
Okay. Vayagon. Vayagon is, right, misery of the ultimate kind. Emtsa. And I found nothing but trouble and grief. So, a more dire sort of statement from David HaMelech, I don't think you'll see. If you didn't know better, if you closed your eyes and you didn't know that this was Tehillim, what would you guys think this was? Yirmiyahu. Right? You would have thought this was a pasuk from Echa, right? Or something like that. That's how dire this is. However, even though I have 30 seconds, I'm not going to leave it on that note because it's just too misery inducing.
Sad.
However, What does he say? Uvishem Hashem Ikra. However, the name of Hashem, I called out. And I knew I would not be left in the lurch. And rather, Ana Hashem, please Hashem. As in, similar to what we sing later on, Ana Hashem,
Hoshiana.
Right? And Chazal say, any tefillah that has the word na in it will surely be answered. And what did David HaMelech say in the midst of his trials, his tribulations, his misery of the ultimate worst variety? Malta nafshi, save my soul. And just by way of a preview, it'll take place in a shir near you next week. Mm-hmm. What does David realize when he is saved? Chanun Hashem v'tzadik v'elokeinu merachem. Hashem shows favor. He's Yudke Vavke. He's merciful. He's tzaddik. He's righteous. And our God is he who what? Shows mercy to one and all. So we'll stop here. And Bli Neder, Bli Shavua, next week we'll begin with Pasuk Vav. Thank you, one and all.